Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week we heard the first part of this message entitled, The Miracle of Grace. Pastor Brian Grant took us to the second chapter of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul himself tells what grace is all about. Pastor Grant explained to us, using the plain words of Scripture, that grace indeed is nothing less than a miracle. Had not God miraculously intervened in grace, sinful mankind would have been left without hope. We learn from Paul's own words how God considers every unregenerate sinner, no matter how pleasant a person they may be, as spiritually dead, unwilling and unable to respond to God's love. But praise God, the story doesn't end there, because God has had the answer to every man's and every woman's hopeless estate, and that answer was grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Perhaps you love the sound of that old hymn, but listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, The Miracle of Grace, by listing three things grace does for us. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Point number one, the need for grace. But thank God, that's not the whole story. Point number two, the provision of grace. The provision of grace. Amen. An atheist. The atheist said to his friend, he said, if there is a God, I dare him to prove his existence by striking me dead right now. And guess what happened? Nothing. He waited a moment. God didn't strike him dead. And so he made the big pronouncement. He said to his friend, you see, that proves there is no God, because if he is God, there was a God, he would strike me dead. The friend looked at him and said, John, God is. Aren't you glad God is a gracious God? Can we worship him this morning for being such a gracious God? That despite the fact that we were dead, we were depraved, we were doomed, boy, oh boy, the passage changes in verse number four with two incredible words of grace. I don't know if you see the link of grace, where after telling us how depraved and dead and doomed we were, in verse four, it says, but God did not squish us. When we were at the lowest of the low, when we were as depraved as could be, but God, and the verse continues, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his what? For his great love with which he loved us. Aren't you glad Jesus loves you? Hallelujah, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Sometimes it's hard to know whether people love you or not. You know, this lady woke up one Valentine's morning. She had a dream, and she woke up and she said to her husband, she says, honey, I just had an amazing dream. She said, I dreamt that you bought me a beautiful pearl necklace for Valentine's Day. It was Valentine's Day. She said to him, what do you think the dream means? The husband looked at her and he says, don't worry, honey, don't worry, honey. Tonight, you'll find out what the dream means. So later that night, she was quite excited because he's going to show her what the dream means that night. And so he presented her with a beautifully wrapped package. Can you imagine the excitement? She's unwrapping the package. It looks like a book, but she knew that concealed in that book was the necklace. But her heart fell when she saw the title of the book. The title of the book was The Meaning of Dreams. There was no necklace. But oh, aren't you glad God has loved us so much? Amen. God loved us so much, and His grace kicked in. And I want to share with you this morning three things that grace did. Is that okay with you if we talk a little bit about three things that grace did? Read with me Ephesians chapter 2 as I pick up at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us. Listen, you notice He loved us even when you were dead. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You can underline that He made us alive together. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't want you to miss this. Everything is in Christ Jesus. Did you notice this? All three things, it's all about Christ Jesus. You see, if Jesus did not die on the cross and was not raised for our justification, none of these three things that grace did will be possible. But this morning we can thank God for Jesus. Amen. We can thank God that Jesus did die for me, and Jesus is alive. He was raised for me. Amen. But three things grace did. Number one, grace made us alive with Christ. Oh, we were dead, but hallelujah, we're no longer dead. Those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are alive. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? Is there another witness? A person who was dead, but now we are alive in Jesus. And what God did for us was so much better than what happened for the whites. You know, the whites' baby came back, but sooner or later that baby died again. Amen? But the life, when Jesus Christ brought us back, brought us to life, it's a life that will never end. Amen? He has given us everlasting life, a life that will never, ever, ever end. It only gets, no wonder that little, I like that little song. It says, sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the days go by. When you were dead, what was something you couldn't do? Well, you say like, a lot of stuff. But let me tell you one of the things. When we were spiritually dead, we couldn't have a relationship with God. So now you're spiritually alive. Is that a big deal to you? How much effort are you putting into building this relationship? Brian, if you knew my schedule, I can hear you now. If you ever knew my schedule, Brian, you would understand why I don't have time to develop a relationship with God. But if that guy you like start calling you, you find time. If that girl is willing to give you her number, oh, you suddenly have time. And I'm going to say to you, my friend, it is time for us to recognize what it means that Jesus, by the power of God, has made us alive with Christ. It's not a joke. He made us alive. And part of why He made us alive is because God wants to have a relationship with you. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe wants to have time with you. Is the time, listen, is the time that this morning you make a decision, God, I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to develop this relationship. Number one, He made us alive with Christ. But secondly, He raised us with Christ. Did you see that in the text? He made us alive with Christ. He raised us with Christ. Salvation is a resurrection. Amen. A preacher can preach and preach and preach, and I can preach all I want to preach, but I cannot raise a dead soul. Only God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can raise a dead soul. And by God's grace, the text tells us that's exactly what He did for somebody, for some of us here. He raised us with Christ, and I'm here. Don't mind me if I'm a little noisy today, because when I think of what God has done for me, I believe it's okay for me to shout a little bit. I believe what he has done for me is worth getting excited about. Amen. He made me alive. And listen, he not only made me alive, he has raised us with Christ. Hallelujah. But this is a big deal. It's not just fluff. Sometimes we read Ephesians chapter 2 and we race past these incredible truths. He has made us alive and he has raised us with Christ. Turn with me to Colossians. Hold your passage there in Ephesians as we turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. Here's what it says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek. All right, so you notice how it starts off. What? Or as some versions would say, since you have been raised with Christ. Oh, didn't we just say we've been raised with Christ? Well, here is what it means. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Somebody ought to make a note of these verses. Somebody ought to be underlining this. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 4, where when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Do you know that in the Christian church nowadays, fornication is no big deal? From what I have been told, that it's okay. And my Bible says, since you have been raised with Christ, put to death fornication, every type of uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Listen, now that we are believers in Jesus Christ, God is calling us to a holy life. Our affection is set on the things above, not on the things on the earth.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I told you a story a few weeks ago I was going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you again about this eagle who somehow got born among the wild turkeys. Some of you forgotten the story, so I'll tell you again. This eagle got born among the wild turkeys, and when he came out of the egg, they thought he was an odd-looking wild turkey. But you know, we all don't look alike either. I figured it's just a strange-looking turkey. So he grew up with the turkeys, you know. He ate turkey food. He played turkey games. He was earthbound just like the other turkeys. But one day, this eagle who lived with these wild turkeys, one day, this eagle saw an eagle flying. Wow, how majestic as this eagle flew. How majestic it was as this eagle was just soaring in the skies. And as he looked at the majesty and the grace of the eagle flying, he looked up and he said to his little wild turkey friends, how is it he can do that and we can barely get off the ground? The little turkeys said to him, you see, he's an eagle. We're just turkeys. That eagle who thought he was a turkey, do you know, for the rest of his life, he was earthbound. He never learned to fly because he believed the wild turkeys that he was just another turkey. Don't let the devil fool you into believing you're just a turkey. Say to the devil, I believe I can fly. Amen. I believe I can fly by the power of the Spirit because he has free. I can fly. I can live above the world. I don't have to live the same old way anymore. I can live a life of victory, a life that pleases God. I can do better. Might God challenge you this morning. Listen what grace did. Grace raised us with Christ. Grace made us alive with Christ. But grace also seated us with Christ. You know, after Jesus died and he was raised from the dead, the Bible tells us he now is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus occupies a place of honor and distinction and majesty. And guess who is seated right beside him? I don't want you to miss this. It's the same folks who used to be dead, depraved, and doomed. Did you see it? Oh, hallelujah. The same folks who were dead, depraved, and doomed are now seated together with Christ. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I say, hallelujah. I am part of heaven's aristocracy. God, through the miracle of grace, has given everlasting life to the spiritually dead, and he has made us a part of heaven's royalty. I don't have to walk with my head down. God has done a marvelous thing in my life. He has saved me. He has given me everlasting life, and I am a part of heaven's royalty. I belong to the king. I'm a part of the family, and I'm seated. I want you to notice in the text, because sometimes we think the text says we will be seated. It did not say that. We are seated. You say, Brother Brian, right down here on earth. Yes, you're here physically, but as far as God is concerned, you're right up there. It's a done deal. It's totally finished. In his mind, you're seated there right now, and we ought to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Do you know in the temple and in the tabernacle, there were no chairs? There was nowhere to sit down. The reason there was nowhere to sit down in the tabernacle and in the temple, because the work of a priest was never finished. A priest always had to be offering sacrifice for people's sins. But my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, but this man, it's talking about Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hallelujah. He's seated. Come on now. He's seated because his work is done. Everything that was required to bring your salvation and my salvation has been done. He is seated. It's a done deal. But here's the sweet part. I'm seated with him. I don't have to be looking no more. I don't have to be searching anymore. Some of you tried Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Buddhism. Don't have to search anymore. You can relax. You can relax. I found the pearl of greatest price. I've discovered a way of gladness. I've discovered a way of joy or whatever it is. I've discovered sadness. And I tell you, boy, I tell you what it is when we've come to Jesus. And I want to ask you, my friend, do you know him? Come on now, have you found him? Have you found him? Has he made you alive with Christ? Has he raised you up with Christ? Has he seated you? The third and finally, the need for grace. We were in desperate trouble. The provision of grace. Jesus did. Jesus paid it all. Amen. But third and finally, the response to grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Don't miss this. The only response that God is looking for is our faith. Amen? The only response that God is looking for is our faith. You see, my friend, you can't work. It says, not of works. Dead folks can't do no work. You realize why it is so hopeless when people are trying to earn their salvation? Oh, you're trying to do all this stuff to make God feel good. You are spiritually dead. You can't do nothing. But thank God Jesus did it. And he says, by grace, the miracle of grace, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. With Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. You need not turn there. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Lord Jesus himself speaks to a church in Laodicea, and he says these words. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup. I'll have dinner with him and he with me. Listen, God is not going to force himself on you. I want you to know that. He's not going to break down your door to give you salvation. The God of the universe is knocking at your door. And I believe some of you right now, you can sense that he's knocking on your door. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. This morning, I'm hoping that somebody here will open the door and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. But you know, that passage in Revelation 3:20 was not written primarily to the unsaved. It was actually written to the church. Can you imagine? They were Christians in the church, and Jesus is saying, you have shut me out. You see, these were folks who somehow didn't have this idea of setting their minds on heavenly things. They were still on the earthly stuff. These were folks who weren't interested in having a relationship. They had not prioritized having a relationship with God. And the one who saved them by his grace is knocking at the door, and he said to them, if you hear my voice and open the door, I come and dine. I come and have a relationship. And God is saying that to some Christian this morning. I want to have a relationship. I saved you for a relationship. I didn't just save you from hell. I saved you to have a relationship right now. And I'm knocking at your door. And I wonder this morning, will you say, God, I hear you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.